We have most all of us heard the old cliches and so forth about honesty. Honesty is the best policy. We know that is. We know there is no such thing as getting away with a lie. If you lie, it always catches up with you at some point in life. It comes full circle. So we learn that honesty is the best policy. Sometimes honesty hurts people. And we say, well, maybe we shouldn't have told them the truth. But really, folks, honesty is the best policy. And we should always be honest with one another and do it in love, as David's friend did when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And it brought about many of the great Psalms that we enjoy today and helped David grow stronger in his relationship with the Lord. Years ago, I remember I was either with my grandfather or my father in one of the shops that we would go to. Maybe it would be for parts or for things, supplies for the nursery. They had a sign hanging in the office. And I'll never forget that sign to this day. Honesty is like pregnancy. You either are or you aren't. There's no such thing as being half true or half false or being a little lie. Honesty is a black and white thing. It's either true or it's not. In our day and age, we don't like to call them a lie. We like to call them an untruth. And I think that's a cop-out. The Bible calls them lies. Webster's Dictionary calls them lies when you tell something that's not true. And I'll get to that in a little bit. One of the things, well, and we notice how this happens in our culture today, how you and I are lied to over and over again in all kinds of ways. Have you ever noticed when you go into a restaurant to eat and you look at the menu and you order something and they set it down in front of you and it's half the size that it was on the menu? Or the stuff on TV. Every time I go to one of those places they advertise on TV for whatever reason, it's not like they advertise. I've learned I don't want one of those expensive cars anymore because I realize if I buy one of those cars and I go down the road and slide it sideways, I'm gonna end up in the hospital, not on a commercial on television, you know. They glorify these things, and technically we're being lied to in order to get us to buy the product. One of the things that really has disturbed me in regards to something like that have been the press releases after our general conference met and the decision our conference came up with to maintain the language in our discipline about human sexuality. Several times as I read the press releases and heard the press, they're presenting it to our culture and to our world as if the United Methodist Church is not accepting these people. And that is not the truth at all. So when you hear something like that said, you understand that's not true, that's a lie. And it's very disturbing to hear them say that about our church. One of the things that I've in pondering all this and thinking about this in terms of the series on church unity that I feel God leading me to speak on as we are coming down to the end of that, one of the most important and main ingredients of church unity is honesty. We spoke a couple weeks ago about forgiveness and how we are to forgive one another because that's what Christians do. Secondly, accountability and how we're accountable to God, to ourselves, and to others around us as Christians. And today I want to talk about being honest and honesty with one another. When Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi, he was under house arrest in Rome at the time. The church in Philippi had sent a gift to Paul in prison with Epaphroditus. And the letter of Philippians was Paul's thank you letter back to the church for what they sent him. And what he writes about in Philippians is encouragement to the church and guidelines for imitating Christ. And some of the things that he writes about in terms of church unity and how the church was supposed to act and to be included rivalries and personal ambition by other people trying to discredit Paul and destroy the churches he was building. Secondly, the teaching of the Judaizers. And you know, the Judaizers were the Jews following Paul wherever he went, going and telling the people, basically, Paul's full of mud. You still have to be circumcised to be a Jew, and you have to follow the law, that righteousness comes through the law. And Paul was saying, no, righteousness comes through God's grace in Jesus Christ. So you had the teaching of the Judaizers as a threat to Paul's teaching. Thirdly, there was perfectionism. There were false teachings going all around that area that Paul was ministering in, that you needed to be perfect. You could not make a mistake or could not sin. You had to be perfect to be righteous. And you know, Paul teaches all about grace and the grace of forgiveness of God. And lastly, about the influence of antinomian libertines. Now, that's big words, but if you are into antinomianism, which a lot of people were in Paul's day and they are today, you believe in your heart, we're God's chosen people. God loves me the way I am, and I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm still going to heaven because I'm God's chosen person. And the Jews believed that very much so. And Paul said, no, that's wrong. Should we go on sinning so that grace abounds all the more? By no means, Paul said. We're not free in that sense to sin, thinking that God's going to overlook it. So anyhow, these were some of the things that Paul was writing to the Philippians about in the Philippian church, that their love may abound more and more, so that they may be able to discern what's best and pure and blameless. He was talking about some who preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Others do it out of goodwill. He was talking about rivalries that were taking place in that culture, selfish ambitions, not sincerely supporting the truth, stirring things up for Paul. You know, all these things were taking place wherever Paul went and ministered, to discredit Paul and stir up the church and divide the church. And Paul said, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to talk about loving one another, being of one love, one spirit, one person, one purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition. So as he comes to the end of the letter, he talks about this unity, about the focus of the church. And when we think about this, church unity is determined by the overall focus of the church. And Paul is saying here, and has been saying in some of these letters, that in order for there to be unity in the church has to be of one mind and one body and one spirit. He does not say that we all have to be cookie cutter Christians, that you have to be like me or I have to be like you, that we all have to be the same. That's never what Paul says. Paul says we have to be of one mind and one spirit. And the one thing that we all come together in is belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, focusing on Christ and focusing on the hope of our resurrection. And that focus had become distorted in Paul's day, as it has in the Church of Jesus Christ many times today. The focus becomes distorted. We start focusing on this and on that. We start listening to outside teachings that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, you have people wandering, so to speak, spiritually, because they don't know what to understand. They don't know whether there's monkeys in the bag or not. Some believe there is, and some believe there aren't. And they're not willing to look into it, or maybe they're too lazy to look into it, or to go to God to ask for discernment. You see? So speaking of honesty and encouraging the believers, the church then, about being honest and the things to focus on, he gives a small list here, and I'm going to talk about them, but I'm going to talk about mainly about honesty, because he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, which in the King James Version is honest, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, notice what he's saying here. These are all positive things, forward thinking, beneficial to the community and to the church, that builds others up around us. And haven't we been talking about that? The importance of building others up around us, not thinking so much of ourselves, but thinking more of others, for the purpose of building them up and encouraging them. And these are things that he's saying, that if we focus on these things, we're going to build others up, we're going to strengthen others, and we're going to be doing the work of Christ, because that's what Christ did. Jesus might have pointed out sins, but Jesus wasn't negative. He wasn't going around telling everybody, you know, you're sinners, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. What you're doing is wrong and how you're doing it is wrong. Jesus focused on the positive and tried to bring everybody together in one, focused on the kingdom of God and salvation through Jesus. So he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I want to talk a little bit about honesty this morning. The Church of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be unified, has to be honest. We have to be honest with each other. We say, wow, that makes me vulnerable. Yeah, it does. It makes us vulnerable. But you know something? We're Christians. And if we're Christians, we still love each other. Even though we can be honest and confess our sins to one another, because that's what makes us different. That's what makes us different. You know, we still love each other, even though maybe we hurt each other, we still love each other. The other night we had an SPRC meeting, PPRC, which thank you God and praise the Lord that we have the PPRC, the Pastor Parish Relations Committee that we do in this parish. They are so supportive of me. And when there's a problem, they're not afraid to tell me. They are honest with me, and we work it out in love together. I hear horror stories from other pastors about their PPRC chairpersons or their committees that are literally out to get the pastor. Ours is not like that here because we can be honest with each other. And I'll be honest with you and transparent. We got into a conversation the other night at PPRC about smoking marijuana. We got to talking about medicinal marijuana, and I don't even remember how we got into it. And somebody openly asked the question, has anybody here ever smoked marijuana? Because I don't know how it makes you feel. Now that's a strong question to ask, isn't it? Amongst the people, it's a strong question to ask. And I know you're all sitting there wondering what was Pastor Mike's answer. I'm not proud of a lot of the things that I've done as a young man. But I do thank God that I did some of the, he allowed me to do some of those things, because I can sit with young people that are doing them now and say, that's not good. You understand? That makes sense. But it's transparency and being honest with each other and still loving each other. Not being cookie cutter people saying, if you're not like me, then I can't love you. But being honest in our actions and in our words. I got to get on with this. First of all, when we're honest in our actions, we are not distorting our image or our reputation. People see us and they have an image of us, who we are. In our culture today, and I know you've seen it, there are people who will leave their community full of churches, travel another community or another community yet to go to church, because they can be whoever they want there. And people see them there as, wow, they're really religious. They're here every Sunday. They're really committed. And then they go back home, and everybody there says, wow, they're really sinners. I remember when they did this and they said that. You see? So what happens, they're living a lie because they're distorting their reputation or their image, when instead they should be staying in their community, going to church, learning to love one another, and working on unity, rather than going somewhere else and being someone else. Secondly, we need to be honest in our words. And I'm talking about lies. Again, we have to be very careful. Our words sometimes are very hurtful, especially when we tell the truth. It is very hurtful. But the Bible says we are supposed to speak the truth in love, and that can be done. It has been done to me personally. I've spoken to other people in love personally that was hurtful, but it was truthful. And still, we have a close, loving relationship because we knew that it was best for the church and for us to get over that hurdle and be honest with each other about things rather than the rumors flying around. You know what a rumor is? A rumor is a lie. A lot of the stuff that you see on social media is a lie. People can lie on there and there's no accountability. And what happens when we spread those rumors, we're spreading lies. And you know, as I thought about this the other day, I was thinking about how rumors are like a coin. All right. But they're only one-sided. If a coin only had one side, it wouldn't have any value, right? It would be worthless. But it has two sides, like every story does. Every story has two sides. And unless you examine both sides of those rumors and what's being told, that doesn't have any value. What's being said has no value. Because when we examine both sides of the story, we find value and we find worth in what's being said, and we also find whether something is true or not by examining, like we did in the bag, to look deeper into it. And secondly, we can turn to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need to know, is this true or not? And the Lord will reveal to that. He'll give us the vision to see, to help us to know when we do that. And also, we can turn to the Word of God, because Jesus said, your word is truth. So we can go to the Word of God and see whether what we're being told and what's happening, the way someone's acting, is this really good? Is it truth? And we can see whether it is or not. Sometimes it convicts us, sometimes it doesn't. But what happens here, what Paul does, he gives us a list of ways to discern whether what's being presented to us today in the church is really true or not, whether it's good for unity or not. Notice what he's saying. Think about such things. These things are positive. They lift up. They glorify God. You see, they don't tear down. As Christians, folks, we don't tear down. We build up. We're builders. We're builders. Do you know when the first place in the Bible where we read God put his spirit into people, you know what they did? They were building the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. God gave men the skills to craft all the things for the tabernacle. God's spirit made them builders. And we're builders. The spiritual gifts, when you read about Paul writing to the Corinthians, the spiritual gifts are given to us to build others up, because we're builders. How do we do that? We do it by our communion together, joining together, being in fellowship together, encouraging one another, being accountable to others, and sometimes pulling a brother or sister aside and saying, this is really hard for me, but we need to talk about something here that I think you're doing wrong. In love. Paul talks about that, the proper way to do that. And if you're rejected, then you go back with a friend. If you're rejected, then you go to the church, you see. But you do it in love in order to lift someone up or to unify the church. Because when we start to become dishonest, the first thing that happens, the church becomes of no value and worthless. And people can believe one side or another, and they're swayed back and forth by every different kind of teaching, Paul says. Let's see. Lying is a sin. Lying is a sin. It's defined as deception, to deceive someone, to take advantage of them. Lying was the very first sin that we read about in the Bible. Satan lied to Eve, didn't he? He lied to Eve. That's what temptation, temptation's a lie. Satan's called the father of lies, or the great deceiver. He lied to Jesus. So when someone's lying to us, or trying to deceive us, they're not filled with the spirit of God. They're filled with the spirit of evil, of Satan, when they're like that. So sin was the first, or lying was the first sin in the garden when Satan lied to Eve. And what happened? It distorted the relationship between man and God. It divided them. It caused the division. And Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. Lying is the first sin of all children. We say, no. Because I teach how we are born in sin. David says we're born in sin. When a child is born, they're born in sin. And usually the first sin is lying. Granted, they may not be doing it purposely to hurt somebody, but it just comes out of them. You parents, do I get an amen? And they might not even know what they're doing, but that's usually one of the first things that we have to teach them, is not to lie. So if we are, as Christians, if we go around deceiving others, can we expect anyone to believe us about Jesus Christ? It's important for us to be honest with ourselves, honest, you know, in the church, and honest with everyone else that we come into contact with, because if the world sees us as liars and they can't trust us, how are we ever going to evangelize the world and tell them about Jesus Christ? I want to close with a little story from school that happened Friday late afternoon before we went to supper. The professor had run out of material. He didn't want to start more material before supper on Friday evening. So he said, I'm going to give you 20 minutes. He said, have a discussion on a topic that you want to talk about amongst yourselves. So a good friend of mine, Cheryl, who's been in several classes with me. I forget where Cheryl's from. Do you remember Bishy? Was it Michigan or it's Ohio? But at any rate, she said, okay, she said, how about a discussion on the decision of the general conference? And the room got quiet. So we started discussing how we felt about this decision. We did not all agree. There was a lot of passion in the room. There was a lot of discussion. There were things that I heard that really I had to sit and ponder and that I had never thought about. There were things that others heard that they never thought about. We expressed ourselves openly, and still, when we walked out for supper, still loved each other. We were honest with each other in disagreement, but we still loved each other and came back into class after supper and had a great time the rest of the weekend. I said to Cheryl as we walked out the room, I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, you had to be the one to start that conversation. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, but she said, you know, if we can't talk about this among ourselves as pastors, she said, then who can we talk to about it? Where can we discuss this? And I said, Cheryl, you're absolutely right. And I thought it was a great discussion because I said to her, you know, you could see we didn't all agree, but yet you can see we all still love each other. Because honesty always wins the day. When you're Christians, when we're in Christian love, honest with each other, honest with those around us, and most importantly, honest with God. Let's pray.